folks. This is Robert Berry, and welcome to Retro Crush, the podcast, episode 91. Oh my gosh, only 9 more episodes till we get to the 100th episode. I hope we have something very special planned. Maybe instant message sounds that I forgot to turn off. We'll feature some of those and some other stuff. A lot of cool things going on in Retro Crush land, I'll have you know. There's a really good chance that we're going to be interviewing Weird Al Yankovic in about a week, so keep your fingers crossed for that. He's got a new album, Straight Outta Linwood, that's coming out, and hopefully we'll do a special whole Weird Al episode here for you, so again, keep those fingers crossed. We have a very fun episode for you today. Jenny Ryan, who you have heard before on this podcast in many forms, was a frequent caller to the Retro Crush hotline using many different voices back in the day. I'll leave it to you to figure out who those might have been. But talk to her about Felt Club. And Felt Club is this really cool event that happens monthly in Southern California, where a bunch of just really cool hip artists get together and just sell just amazing crafts and just really kind of fun, kitschy, weird, cool stuff. And she's got a website as well, feltclub.com. And so we're going to play an interview with her shortly. That's a lot of fun. I mean, I know it's this 40-minute long interview, but it's that freewheeling kind of fun, crazy style drunken goodness that you've grown to love on the Retro Crush podcast, I hope. I do want to take a moment to pay a little respect to Steve Irwin, who died last Sunday or Saturday, I believe, or one of those days last week, by getting killed by a stingray. You know, I just obviously you're not hearing that for the first time here, I imagine. But, just have to say, what a great guy. I mean, I think if you look at all-time great children's television personalities, you got to include him in the top 10. I mean, I'd say after Mr. Rogers, you'd be hard-pressed to come up with too many more people that have the beloved status that Steve Irwin did. And what I liked best about Steve Irwin is that he just really seemed to love what he was doing. This wasn't just some stupid character he invented to make some money. Sure, he may have laid on the enthusiasm a little bit, but it really seemed like he was the real deal. And he just did such amazing things. So just sad to see you go. And I'd like to play this clip from a South Park cartoon where the boys are sitting on Cartman's couch and watching an episode of The Crocodile Hunter.
As we steer our boats out here, looking for these dangerous predators. Boy, there's a king croc right there. He must be 4 meters, 12, 13 feet long at least. This croc has enough power in his jaws to rip my head right off.
Woo-hoo!
I've got to be careful. So what I'm going to do is sneak up on it and jam my thumb in its butthole.
Holy crap, dude!
If I get bit out here, I'm 200 kilometers from the nearest hospital. I better be real careful jamming my thumb in its butthole. Oh boy, he's pissed off now.
Go, dude, go!
I'm gonna jam my thumb in his butt on him. This should really piss it off. Oh yeah, that pissed it off. Oh, I gotta be careful.
This guy rules.
I tell you, guys.
Well, that was quite an angry crook. But I managed to escape with only a few bruises and a shattered left testicle. Next week, we'll look for more of these beautiful creatures so we can learn more about them by pissing them off immensely. Thanks for watching.
Wow, what I like best about that clip is, unlike other things where South Park kind of skewers people in pop culture and makes fun of them, that just seems like an honest tribute about what a badass he was. Even the boys in South Park are just admiring how great he is. So, have fun wrestling them crocodiles in heaven, Steve Irwin. That's for sure. So, as promised, here's my interview with Jenny Ryan. I think you're going to like this and laugh hysterically through the whole thing. Well, I'm here with Jenny Ryan, who is a famous artist, writer, and now she's part of Felt Club.
You already have to scrap this, buddy.
How would you prefer to be introduced?
Not as a famous artist and writer.
All right, hold on, I'll start this all over again. Hello.
Why did you just...
I'm here with West Coast Craft Queen.
There
Jenny
you
Ryan.
Go. Much better.
Jenny Ryan is the Svengali, the Doctor Doom, the Hitler in his good days leader.
Right.
That brief period,
that brief shining period.
Yeah, cause like, there was a point where, like, you know, he was trying to get
some
votes.
Before he got kicked out of art school or rejected from art school and,
yes.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that confusing intro hasn't made you end the podcast yet.
Yeah, bye. It was good talking to you, Robert.
Exactly. But, tell me about Felt Club and why people should care what Felt Club is all about.
They should care because I'm the Dr. Doom of West Coast Crafting, and I will destroy them with my mind if they don't care.
Holy shit.
Yeah, but why they should really care, let's see. Well, first let's say what Felt Club is, which is a monthly mini craft fair here in Los Angeles, which out of purely selfish reasons I started up in May. We kicked that off in May of 06. Or the OT6, as we call it in my hood.
Yes.
Yeah, and I started it because I wanted a place to sell my crafts. Because, as you know, as a former customer, I have my own crafty website.
So darn cute.
Yes, spelled S-E-W, darn cute, because puns are really good to use on the Internet. So, and emoticons, lots of emoticons. So, yeah.
I always see puns at hair salons.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
Like if it's like there's some law that if you open a place that cuts hair that you have to make some pun in your store's business name.
It's very true. I knew somebody that collected ads of, like, all pun names of hair salons. Of course, now that I'm under pressure, I can't remember a single one, but...
A cut above.
Yeah, there you go.
Stuff
cut
like
above.
That, you know.
Exactly. Well, you're getting on my last... What was that? I was going to say last hair, but I guess I meant last nerve. What am I saying? I'm a little drunk. Anyway. So it's good that I'm representing my business in this state. So, okay, let's see.
So it's a big craft fair in Los Angeles, right?
So it's a big craft fair, yes. And, you know, it's funny that we talk about this on a podcast because it's, you know, we're all so technologically advanced. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, podcasts. Blogs,
brother, let
that,
me tell you, sister.
All that nonsense, which is fun and has its place for sure. But I think that people are crying out for a return to simpler days of macaroni art and what could be more iconic than felt, you know, as a crafty supply, as a go ahead.
I'm sorry, I was cutting you off there.
No, you weren't. Go ahead.
That wasn't very felty of me. But, I've seen pictures of these fairs. I haven't been to one myself yet, but, I mean, it's amazing stuff. I mean, you've got, cool purses, weird little mirror crafts. I mean, just,
clothing.
It's just kind of like sky's the limits with just creative, interesting jewelry, clothing, accessories, artwork, even, you know, artistic cupcakes you can find there, right?
It's true, yeah. We have a bake shop table that we run every month. The different vendors that participate, if they have a little time before the show, they like to bake up some treats and donate them to the bake shop table. And people come to that table and get info about our events and our vendors and some of our sponsors.
Cool.
And they buy baked treats, and those funds help keep the fair running because... You know, it does add up. Everything you just mentioned, all that stuff that we sell, I mean, we're turning people away. It is a mini craft fair. You know, we never have more than 25, 30 people per month. But I think that's a really good amount for a monthly fair. And, you know, we get easily three times the amount of applications that we have spots for every month, which I think really indicates that there was a need for something like this in L.A., and I say that I selfishly started it because I wanted a place to sell my stuff, and that's only partly true. You know, I also just had a lot of friends who also had crafty businesses and were in the same boat. So I just thought we should have something, a place of our own, you know, to make crafts the focus, unlike just getting a table at a farmer's market or flea market where you're next to the guy that sells organic rutabagas, which is great and has its place, and who doesn't love an organic rutabaga, but...
I hate rutabagas.
You know,
it's like
you're
eating earwax.
Yeah, I was going to say they tasted a little like old dirt, not that good fresh dirt.
No,
but they taste
they're pretty bad.
Old bitter dirt. But
I remember that was like one of those things that like my mom would just cook for some reason. Like nobody in the house wanted it, and she just decided to buy rutabaga and cook it.
Weird.
And then like my dad wouldn't eat it, and then my sister and I would just sit at the table for 40 minutes trying to find a way to hide it.
Wow.
In
my house, it was just rutabaga was a punchline. It wasn't something we would actually be expected to consume. But I like that about you and your family.
Once
you
my mom made liver pie.
Oh, God.
I know what she made, like, these turnovers, you know, like, kind of like the shape of a Hostess.
Did your mother hate
pie.
You?
I know what, she thought she was being creative, but everything she thought of really sucked, you know? But, like, she decided to make, like, liver turnover pies, and I remember it stunk up the house. I remember thinking when I was, like, 9 years old, that, like, it smelled like she was baking dog crap in the oven.
Oh.
And we went to the backyard because it smelled so bad, and my dad took a bite and said, ugh, forget
this. You were going to go to the backyard and see if all the dog turds that had been laid out there did suddenly came up missing, and maybe your mom did bake a dog turd pie.
What was the worst thing your mom ever made?
Oh, you know, my mom was a pretty good cook, actually. Johnny has some stories about his, I'm afraid to say. But his mom cooked a lot of Italian food, and I guess his big pet peeve was that she would leave the vegetables, like in a tomato sauce, she would just leave everything in huge slimy chunks.
Like big slabs of zucchini and stuff inside?
Yeah, like a tomato sauce, but instead of, you know, dicing the onion to where it's palatable, it would be like just huge slimy chunks of onion.
Gross.
But my own mom, yeah, she pretty much made good food. Oh, but there was one dish that she would make, and I don't even know if she liked it, but she made it, for my dad. He grew up, eating this, you know, during tough times. They called it Heartburn Delight. And it was, you brown a pound of ground beef and drain the fat off because, you know, you want to be healthy eating a pound of ground beef. And then it had, I believe, a big giant can of baked beans added. And then about half a bottle of ketchup just like poured in there.
Good
and
Lord.
All cooked up. And it was just like this slop.
It doesn't seem like it would be very cheap. You know, that meat's not cheap, you know.
Well, it depends on, you know, we're not talking ground sirloin. We're talking like...
Half
you know,
fat.
Yeah, basically, like, whatever fell on the floor in the butcher shop, they grind
the stuff
that
that's
up
not good enough to use in Hamburger Helper.
Right, put it in a styrofoam tray, add a can of beans and some ketchup, or even maybe you have ketchup packets laying around, you know, and that's Heartburn Delight, and that was a very white trash dish that, you know,
oh, it does
my mom would occasionally make because, yeah, and even though I don't think my dad even liked it, but it was a nostalgia thing.
It'd fill you up, though.
Yeah, so that you can add that to the Retro Crush recipe book.
I think we may cook that this weekend.
I think you should try it, yeah.
My kids would probably like it.
Don't fancy it up.
Don't fancy it up.
You got to have it au naturel.
Okay.
OG.
So the Felt Club event, this the newest one is coming up just Saturday, right?
Actually, we have moved
10th?
To Sundays.
Oh, Sunday the 10th, that's
10th
right.
Is Sunday. Yeah, we moved to Sundays. We were at an outdoor location.
Is it true you were going to have it on September 11th to commemorate the 5th anniversary
yes,
of
Yes, and all the crafts, all the crafts. Yeah, I was going to make all the crafters, you know, build little dioramas of what their new World Trade Center would look like out of felt and sequins and popsicle sticks. But we thought maybe it would be more tasteful if we
do a cloisonné pentagon with an airplane sticking out of it.
Yeah. Next time.
Cool.
Next year. But yeah, this time we're moving indoors to a club called The Echo in Echo Park.
Oh, it's going to be indoors now?
Yeah, it's going to be indoors. I mean, with fall coming up, we do get wacky weather, even though it is Los Angeles.
So you won't be all, like, lobster red from sunburns this time in your photos.
Yeah, that was kind of tough. But at the same time, I loved our first location. From May to August, we were at Meltdown Comics in Hollywood. Meltcomics.com.
You can't beat that place, yeah.
Yeah, it's the best comic shop on the West Coast, or really in the country that I've been to, bar none. It's huge and well lit, and there aren't creepy guys skulking around. Like, you don't feel weird shopping there being a girl, which is always a plus. And they have a big gallery in the back that they just expanded, and we started the sale in the back parking lot there. So yeah, it was outdoors, and that was really fun. And there's more of a tie-in than you would think between the stuff they sell and the stuff that we did, because they're just really supportive of the whole L.A., you know, DIY, arts and crafts sort of scene. So,
sure.
You know, it was a good fit. But, yeah, we definitely needed to, you know, expand a little bit. And moving indoors is great. So, yeah, the first one at the new location is this Sunday, and it's at a club called The Echo. Their website is attheecho.com.
And people could go to just feltclub.com and
find out all
the info.
Yeah, they can just go to feltclub.com and... We have a vendor gallery up, like I was mentioning to you earlier today, about that has pictures of products by all the vendors we're going to have there. And if they have a website, it'll link to that. And you can also see the people who've participated in past months. And we actually have a lot of retro-type crafts.
Yeah, it's really kind of cool. I mean, if you go to feltclub.com, you can check out all this stuff there. And you guys have been getting a lot of attention lately. I know you've been on a couple TV segments promoting it, right?
Yes, yeah. We actually taught how to make different projects, too. There's a show called Uncommon Threads on the DIY Network.
Uh-huh.
And it's a show that they have different crafting groups and clubs do different episodes, and so they had written me about So Darn Cute, and then they saw that I'd started Felt Club, and they said, hey, you know, why don't we do something together? So we did two shows with different members from Felt Club on it, and I was on both episodes, and we made a lot of fun, crafty stuff. One of the episodes, we made a, like, sweets-themed stuff for a retro tea party, and, like, the hostess made a little cocktail type apron, like a saucy 50s, you know, chiffon apron, but she embroidered a little teacup on it, and I made a little pot holder that looks like a giant sugar cookie with frosting and sprinkles on it, and just really cute retro stuff. And those are going to start airing, it was for the next season, and so they are going to start airing in January of 07. And,
My son made me a craft a couple days ago. It's like a, you trace your hand and you draw a turkey out of it.
Yes.
Brother,
yes.
It doesn't look like a hand. It doesn't look like a hand no more when he's
no.
It.
Once you slap a beak and some feathers on that, it's turkey time, baby.
So you also got an interview with the venerable Sunset Magazine earlier.
Yes.
Today, right?
Yes.
I'll have to check that out next time I'm at the dentist.
It's not just for old people anymore.
That's like one of those magazines that you never actually see for sale anywhere.
You know,
it's either
the time,
at somebody's house or at the
thing.
Dentist office. It's like highlights for old people.
Well, Felt Club's going to be one of those highlights. So.
Well, that's good. Well, old people like crafts more than anybody.
That's true.
Speaking of, like, time-tested crafts, let's talk a little bit about some of, like, the classic do-it-yourself crafts, maybe some of the corniest ones from history that, you know, used to see.
From history, yes.
Like, a couple I can think of would be, in the 70s especially, macrame was very big.
Oh, yeah.
I remember we had this ugly... like wall hanging, it was like this burlappy macrame owl that was about 4 feet tall.
Who didn't have that owl?
Yes.
Yeah. For me, that stuff is just kind of god awful. I was surprised because I think it was at the first Felt Club, somebody came by the info table and was asking, because, you know, we share a lot of information and tips and stuff, and a visitor was asking, do you know anybody that teaches macrame? And I was like, whoa. Is this 1976? Like, although, you know, not to knock that person, and if she's listening, sorry, dude. Not for me, but you know, maybe somebody does cool macrame. I don't know, but the stuff we grew up with, like,
Have you ever seen Pop Toppin?
Pop Toppin. Didn't you post something about that on your site?
Yeah, I've got a book about it too. It's basically in another 70s thing that's kind
of
lost to
the 80s. That was one of the
weirdest. People would get pull tabs from aluminum cans and use them to interlock to make like vests and hats and all kinds of clothing and jewelry.
Yeah, because that sounds so comfortable and fashionable.
Your vest smells like beer. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that too.
I know another, like, weird retro one you don't see anymore is I remember kids used to make bracelets out of gum wrappers. Like, you'd fold them and it'd be like this interlocking chain of gum wrappers.
Yeah, actually, there's a lot of stuff right now made out of things like Capri Sun, like flattened, rinsed, well, hopefully rinsed Capri Sun packages.
Yeah.
And
in fact, I saw some hipster feature where they're selling these purses made out of candy bar wrappers and stuff. And
yeah,
it's like,
there's a lot of that. Which, well, you know, especially in the hipster world right now, it's very cool to be eco-conscious, and you know, it's a form of recycling and turning trash and polishing a turd, basically. You know, turning trash into treasure. But my favorite crafts aren't made with garbage. I've seen some stuff like that that's cool. Some of the candy wrapper jewelry and stuff I think is kind of cool looking. But I had a really crafty aunt growing up, and she was actually a rocket back in the day. And
wow.
Yeah,
she had hot legs.
She did have hot legs and no eyebrows. They were drawn on like a drag queen. But she had the best yard sales in town. I always got lots of fun crafty supplies there. I actually also once bought a pair.
My aunt used to draw on her pubes.
Oh, wow. I can't speak to that with this aunt, but but
I had another aunt that had like a plastic shield over that area, and it was like a Woolly Willy toy.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, if you just shook her up,
you could start over and
would go.
Make all kinds of faces on it. It was great.
Yeah, she was married to Uncle Etch-a-Sketch. but this aunt had a lot of cool crafts in her house. Like, she had one of those crocheted poodle toilet paper cozies.
Or the ones that would hold your Kleenex boxes, too.
The one she had, I remember, it was a mint green poodle covering a roll of toilet paper, because God forbid you lay your naked eye on a roll of toilet paper.
Yeah,
it isn't
don't
covered,
see
you
what's
know?
In there, huh?
You gotta embellish that. And
you know what I saw recently that's I'm sorry, go on, I'm cutting you off like crazy here.
How dare you?
I'm so excited about crafts.
Oh, I was just gonna say that she also had these funny plates, like a dinner plate, that had a black silhouette cutout of her. She had poodles. She and my uncle had a boy poodle and a girl poodle. Peppy,
like the side profile of their shadow.
Yeah, it was a side profile of the poodle cut out of black felt, and then all around the edge of the dinner plate was this, you know, colorful rickrack and sequins and, you know, just stuff glued all over it with their little.
They used to make those at fairs, I remember.
Wait, like, what was that?
They used to make, like, profile cutouts at fairs. Like,
oh, they do that at Disneyland, the silhouettes, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The silhouette is very hip right now.
It sure is.
It is. In the craft world, in craft fashion and design, the silhouette is very hip.
Cool.
But, you know, maybe it's on its way out. I don't know. Maybe it got too hip.
Modern kind of thing that we've gotten a couple of given to us now that I guess could fit into the craft world, but for some reason, like, you could buy this, like, crappy fleece, you know, with patterns on it, and people make these blankets out of it.
Yeah,
but, like, they tie knots on the edges of it, like, somehow. It's like,
right.
You know, just
like a fringy carnival half shirt.
Yeah,
like,
you look at
those?
It looks like something a third grader made, but, like, some adult gives it to you, like, oh, I just made this, I went to a class, and you're like, oh. Thanks.
That fleece stuff, it's very, I mean, it seems like you would just, like, sweat with that on you at night. It's like this unnatural fiber, but non-fiber, totally man-made weirdness. But Yeah, people who don't have any, oh, I sound like a craft Nazi, which leads us back to the Hitler thing, but,
kind of like a skin lamp shade. Is that what a craft
Nazi
makes?
Yeah, except that when you cut polar fleece, it doesn't fray at the edges. And that's why people, yeah, you don't even need to sew the hem. You just, like you said, cut a wacky, crazy, fringed, effect there on the edge and, you know, go to town. But yeah, that stuff's not for me. But, you know, have at it, world.
Once I was on a trip with my parents, and we, like, when you take the southern route across the U.S., there's all these Indian, like, jewelry stands and things like that selling silver and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this one that was selling all these black velvet paintings. And it had your standard Elvis and Jesus and that classic, like, it looks like a high priest from Mexico holding an unconscious Mexican woman that you see in a lot of Mexican restaurants.
Yeah.
But they had black velvet Lionel Richie paintings.
Oh, God.
I thought that was pretty cool.
That was actually his porn name was Black Velvet.
Black Velvet Richie? Yeah,
not exactly. Even, no Richie, just Black Velvet.
Black Velvet.
And I think you know why. Anyway, let's move
I'm
on.
I'm not allowed to talk about that.
Yeah, the legal ramifications could be pretty steep.
Yes. Well, you've got an interesting background in comic books. I mean, aside from being married to one of the premier comic artists of our time.
You have a funny idea of what makes a big shot.
Well, I only read, like, two comics these
days. Well, then, yeah, I'm not surprised you think he's, like, the only one.
I read this one that's, like, about medieval stuff.
Gru?
No.
Is it Gru?
it's like some lesbian medieval comic. That
you pick up at the Renaissance Festival?
Fantagraphics puts it out.
Okay. All right.
Linda Medley or something?
Medley, yeah. Okay, let's move on.
I don't really read that, though. I just look at it for
I'm not here to judge you, Robert.
And
I'm
you know
just
what else
here
I,
to pin
I like
my
reading
ride.
Is a good comic that people should check out is Angry Youth Comics.
Yeah, I think you might have mentioned it once or twice.
That's pretty good.
On your site and in your podcast. Maybe once or twice.
And old Defenders comics.
Right, yeah. Well, you've got varied tastes, I'll give you that.
Well, that's true. So, what am I trying to say here? I don't know.
I'm not really sure.
Yeah, you guys had ice cream sundaes tonight, right?
Yeah, we did. Yeah,
what
we celebrated our day, during which nothing really happened. We went to the old 31 Flavors down the street.
What flavors did you choose?
This is some interview.
People want to know.
Peanut butter and chocolate. They have a new cookie dough. We did a scoop of each in the sundae.
A new cookie dough?
A new cookie dough.
How do you do that differently?
The reason it's new is because instead of a vanilla base, it's a brown sugar flavored ice cream.
Mm.
Yeah, it was very interesting.
How come that tastes so good?
You got to ask 31 Flavors.
I remember, they don't do this so much anymore, but like back in the 80s,
mm-hmm.
Baskin-Robbins used to do these big flavor of the months that were tied into some kind of movie or something. And like, they were really stupid. Like, they had one that was... Disney made this really shitty movie called Condor Man.
Condor Man?
Yeah, it was like this guy who had a suit that let him fly around with big wings.
Yeah,
on it.
I remember that. We watched that in Girl Scouts for some weird
and they,
reason.
And they had a flavor called Condor Man Crunch.
Good lord.
Yeah, it was like they obviously paid the money to do that, you know.
Crunch, then, like it's all crunched up.
And for Halloween once, they had like, it was called Witch something. It was like black licorice ice cream.
Ew.
And it was inky black. It was so cool.
I like black licorice, but that sounds gross.
No, well, as a kid, it was just the greatest because you're eating black ice cream, you know. And
yeah,
once you eat black ice cream, there's
no
going back.
Most of them.
Yeah.
Don't
but
they?
But the weirdest one, like, you can't even wonder how... They actually had... Like a Can't Stop the Music themed ice cream from
Please
the Village People movie. I'm not lying.
And it tasted like poppers and a gay bar.
Yeah.
It tasted like the floor of a gay bar.
It tasted like ass poppers in despair.
Okay. And they forced all the Baskin Robbins employees to dress up like the Indian.
Yes.
Felipe
Rose. Better than that pink and brown outfit they used to have to wear.
Oh, don't diss the pink and brown.
I remember people used to brag about working there because they could huff the whipped cream containers and get high.
Oh, man.
And then they had to change the attachments for them so the employees couldn't do that.
Well, they attract an elite workforce, I guess.
Now, I don't even see, like, Baskin-Robbins that are just plain old they're all like, you know, Baskin-Robbins / Togo's or... It's like these...
Yeah, that's a weird development that seems to be happening more and more in, like, the last 10 years of all the twofers, you know?
Yeah, like you Kentucky can't Fried one Chicken restaurant and anymore. Pizza Hut.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know. I'm not. I don't support the mixing of my fast food establishments.
And at See's Candy, Summer's Eve combo was pretty weird.
Yeah, that's a little off. There's something wrong with that, for sure.
For sure.
So, Robert Berry, what kind of crafts do you like to do? You have kids. Do you ever do crafts with them?
Yeah, we like to draw together. We draw a lot of pencil. You know, they go to a Waldorf school.
And
the Waldorf methods encourages a lot of craftiness at a young age because they want to, you know, a lot of textile learning with touching and doing things. So they do beeswax sculptures.
Aww.
Ever seen this? It's really cool. It comes these little colored sheets that are square shaped.
Yeah, I've made candles with them, but never.
Well, but these are tiny. They're like maybe only like 2 inches by 2 inches.
Oh, okay.
And they're very thin, and you have to warm it up in your hand, and then you could just sculpt things with them. And it's all these like all the colors of the rainbow, kind of like the Fimo clay.
Well, that's more interesting than just using their earwax.
Exactly, and then they also make felt. Things with there's like this loose felt that you can kind of make into different shapes and pull it. You know, like it comes in a felt ball, and you can it's like I don't know how to explain it, but it's just like it's not solid. You know, you can do all kinds
of. It's like a loose fiber.
A loose fibrous felt that you can make
because
like
that's
a rabbit.
Felt before felt is felted. Like felt is also a verb.
That's right.
So. You know, when you have the loose wool fibers and then you agitate them and, smush them together with your hands, you can roll little balls with it and make jewelry, all sorts of stuff like that. Or you can do needle felting and punch it with a little needle thingy and make little shapes. But this loose stuff that, how do they work it?
I have to send you a little ball of it so you can see, but it's almost like raw yarn. It's hard to explain. It's not...
Hmm.
But anyway, this is pretty fascinating listening for everybody, I'm sure.
Hey, this is
the world of.
I thought this was your craft episode, Robert.
This is our craft episode.
I'll have you know that some of your some of the people who visit your website and your message boards have emailed me personally asking for crafting tips.
Cool.
And I'm not kidding; they have.
Well, I believe it.
I think you'll be surprised.
And folks, if you've got any crafting memories or crafting ideas, you can always call the Retro Crush hotline at 916-231-9480. And you can always go to feltclub.com and ask Jenny all kinds of crafty questions.
Yeah, let's encourage that.
Yes.
No, I'm just kidding.
That's more...
Please, email me all your questions.
Especially
no,
if
you know what, though?
She likes working
have a good
with prisoners.
Yes, please. Send
if
a photo, nude
any,
if possible.
Yeah. What can you recommend with, like, blood and fingernails?
Yeah. Prison crafts, that's big. That's real big. We really need to increase our prisoner vendor ratio. Something I was going to say, I was being sarcastic about, sending me questions and stuff just because I'm so bad at returning emails. When it's not
you're telling me.
Immediately pressing, I'm pretty bad at that. But I don't even write my mom back. But but there's a great website called Craftster.org, and there's an S-T-E-R in there, like Friendster. It's Craftster.org. And there's a forum on there which is insanely popular and insanely informational. And actually, you would love the book that the girl who started Crafter, Leah Kramer is her name, Kramer with a K.
She sounds
hot. Go on Amazon, and her book, I think it's called The Crafter Guide to, it's something like kitschy, thrifty, something retro crafts. I can't remember the name of it. I just got it, though, and it, the whole thing is retro crafts from craft books from the 50s, 60s, and 70s.
Cool.
And she's like updated the projects and actually made them, and so there's photos of them and updated instructions. They got, you know, she actually contacted the companies that had published those back in the day about reprinting them, and it's really well designed too. It's just such a fun book.
What was her name again?
Her name is Leah Kramer. And
is it with a C?
What?
Or a K for Kramer?
Kramer, K for Kramer, yeah. And, yeah, it's crafter.org. And, yeah, I definitely recommend that book for anybody into retro crafts.
Oh, I see this. It's The Crafter Guide to Nifty, Thrifty, and Kitschy Crafts. 50
yeah.
Fabulous Projects from the 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
Pretty
it's
cool.
Really, really fun and super retro. And there's another really good craft book called Super Crafty. And that was put out by, Portland Super Crafty. Which is a book, which is a group, of these four crafty dames from Portland. And one of them, Susan Beal, she does a website called SusanStars.com. She has been a Felt Club participant. She splits her time between Portland and LA. But their book, it's also a bunch of how-to projects. And it's not strictly retro, but there's a lot of fun retro stuff in there. Like, right off the top of my head, I know they did this, this funny car curtain that's very Cheech and Chong. It's kind of almost like a rockabilly Cheech and Chong amalgam, and it's like a little car curtain that hangs inside your car with little dingle balls and like horseshoe charms sewn to it and stuff like that. It's just, you know, really, really funny stuff.
Cool.
Yeah,
I'm looking at a picture of Leah Kramer now. You have me intrigued.
She's a cool lady. She actually came by the booth that we all shared, and you may have met her, Robert Berry. She came by the booth at San Diego because she was on her book signing tour, and she came by and said hello.
I don't remember, but maybe that's true.
Yeah, maybe you were off, you know, having some alone time with Sid Haig or something.
I was too busy taking a picture of Captain America's ass.
Yeah, to meet a cool crafter, so... I don't
exactly.
know. Those are just some resources for anybody that kind of wants to get back into it.
Those are all good resources, and we'll have links to them on our podcast page as well.
Definitely should do that.
By the way, before we leave you, you know, there's this new Desperate Housewives perfume that just came out. We've got a feature on. And people can go and vote on what they think it might smell like.
Mm-hmm.
But that seems kind of odd. Why would they make that? Like, it's a $50... it's a $50 bottle of perfume that you buy at Macy's.
Yeah.
And it's tied
well,
into
you
Desperate
make
Housewives. Yeah.
Yeah. That seems very wrong. Especially because I was kind of under the impression that show was on its way out. Am I wrong?
I think they're going to try to make season 3 their comeback season.
Oh.
They brought in some. They tried to introduce a storyline with a black family to kind of make it more diverse last year, and it kind of dragged it down.
So you are blaming the blacks for the failure of the show.
Yeah,
I'm ashamed of you, Robert.
They took our jobs.
Moving on.
It wasn't a very good season all around. Did you watch any of it last year?
I didn't watch it the first year. I've just seen, you know, the bits that get shown around here and there on tacky gossip shows when I come across those. Not that I seek them out, because Hollywood gossip, I certainly have no taste for that whatsoever. But I will say Lindsay Lohan's vagina, it does look a little weird. Did you see
the
photos? You didn't see the photos?
Oh, is that like the hot new thing on the internet now?
Oh, yeah, you didn't. Well, yeah.
Well, I'll have to look for that. What does it look like?
A little long.
Wow. Well, she's so young.
I don't know.
I mean, it's already.
But you know what? Every woman is beautiful. I need to just say that right now. You know, genitals
are
awesome.
It's not the size of the vagina that matters.
I really can't believe I'm talking to you about this during our crafty podcast where I'm trying to get people to come to my craft show and tell them about it, and, you know.
You should make some macaroni art of Lindsay Lohan's
vagina. Lindsay Lohan's
vagina.
Actually, there's this great artist, I don't know how to pronounce his name, which really helps, but it's Jason, his last name is spelled M as in Mary, which is appropriate. M E C E I R, I think, or I E R. Type it up. Are you on the computer? Yeah. Come on, type it up.
Oh yes, I see it. Jason
Messier.
He's
the dude that he's awesome. He makes all
that.
Oh,
see that guy that made like the portrait of Sally Struthers out of beans and stuff.
He did Showgirls out of erotic pasta and fake nails.
Oh, he's great. Yeah, we'll link him up too. Oh, yeah, if you go to jasonmessier.com.
Yeah,
M-E-C-I-E-R.
Wasn't sure how.
Oh, it's great. There's like, the Golden Girls out of beans.
Yeah.
There's a.
Coop and Ruth actually own the Showgirls piece, which is very cool in person.
The Olsen Twins made out of candy. The Spice Girls made out of jelly beans.
He did a Drew Barrymore Firestarter portrait out of lunch meat.
Wow.
I remember seeing that years ago, on a magazine cover. But yeah, he's kind of like the perfect, like, his stuff straddles the line between art and craft really well.
I think this Terry Schiavo portrait made out of vegetables is kind of in bad taste, though.
I haven't been to the site lately, but I'm going to have to leave a stern response about that one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, on that happy note, I'm going to go now so I can go watch the United 93 movie.
While dousing yourself in Desperate Housewives perfume.
Exactly. Don't spoil the ending for me, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, Lord.
Well, good luck, and folks, please go to feltclub.com, and if you're anywhere within the United States area, go check out the Felt Club September 10th.
September 10th, and it happens every month.
Every month. But this one's the supposedly the best one of them all, so don't
totally.
Put it off.
Yeah.
It's
and
indoors.
We have a DJ this month, too, which is fun. We're going to have happy, cute, fun shopping music.
I heard it's Screech.
Yeah, it's DJ Screech.
DJ Screech.
DJ Screechy Screech. And he's trying to raise money to save his house. And you
I heard that was a fraud. Did
Club
you hear that?
What was that?
Like, I guess there was some internet television station that wanted to do a telethon with him to help him save his house.
Uh-huh.
And I guess they like, he was acting really weird because they flew him into Colorado or something. And they had all these interviews lined up for him to do to promote, you know, the telethon in this TV station,
uh-huh.
And he wouldn't talk about his house floor closure in any of the interviews. And then, like, I guess more and more they suspected that, like, he was just making the whole thing up because they couldn't find any information about the foreclosure actually happening.
Wow.
And,
they didn't...
Big publicity stunt, apparently.
I heard him on Howard Stern when he was going around trying to drum up sympathy for that, and he was selling the T-shirt saying, Save Screech's House. But they mostly talked about his wiener, so...
You know, Eddie Deason never had to resort to that kind of shenanigans.
That's true, and I'm getting a call. We've actually seen him a couple times around town, and we saw him at a steakhouse, so I think he's doing okay.
Yeah, yeah.
He does a lot of voices for cartoons.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Polar Express,
perfect.
Too.
Cool. What?
I'll let you go take your car. Well, he was in the Polar Express.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. He did Mandark in Dexter's Lab.
There you go.
Which is a great show.
I think Johnny and I talked about Eddie Deez in the last time on the podcast, too. So,
we're bringing it full circle.
All
right. Yes. Well, let me just say that the show is from 11 to 6 on Sunday.
Okay. That's AM to PM, right?
That's AM to PM, yeah. It's not a rave. So yeah. You can leave your glow stick at home.
Leave your candy pacifier necklace.
Candy pacifier, glow sticks, and Vicks Vapor Rubs. Just keep them on the shelf. Just bring a big giant wallet to support all the indie businesses that are going to be out showing their crafty wares.
And if you don't have a big giant wallet, you could probably buy one there with.
You probably could.
With an embroidered beaver on it.
Yes, you could. Actually, I'm going to get to work on that right now.
Exactly.
And cool. Yeah. Thanks for talking to me.
thanks so much for your time, and we'll speak again soon. And everybody go to feltclub.com. Thanks,
enjoy.
Jenny Ryan, for being a pal of Retro Crush the Podcast.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that was a lot of fun for me. I hope you enjoyed listening to that as well. By the way, in case that wasn't clear, Jenny Ryan is the wife of Johnny Ryan, who we interviewed in an earlier podcast, comic book artist extraordinaire. He got a really cool press release earlier this week. Tony Bennett Duets, an American classic. Now, I like listening to some Tony Bennett music sometimes, I'll admit, and it says here that a treasured jazz singer Tony Bennett has continued to win over new generations of fans with his classic style every decade since he released his first record in the mid-50s. And Tony Bennett Duets, an American classic, features new versions of Tony's classic songs recorded with such legendary artists as Barbara Streisand, Bono, the Dixie Chicks, Paul McCartney, and Stevie Wonder. Wow, maybe they'll do Ebony and Ivory together while they're at it. But anyway, 18 different duets. This comes out on September 26th, but they gave me some audio clips that I could share with you here from some of these songs. And they do sound kind of nice, I'll have to admit. The first one is Tony Bennett with Bono of U2 fame singing I Wanna Be Around.
Somebody who would swear to be true like you used to do with me, will leave you to lie that misery loves company. Wait and see, I mean I wanna be around to see how he does it when he breaks your.
And next we've got with Stevie Wonder, this is For Once in My Life.
For once, I have someone I know won't desert me. I'm not alone anymore. For once I can say, this is mine, you can't take it. Long as I know I am love, I can make it once in my life.
And next up, we got one of America's premier vocalists, along with Tony Bennett there, Katie Lang, singing Because of You. Sure nice to hear stuff from her.
Because of you, my romance at its start.
Because of you, the sun will shine, the moon and stars will say you're mine forever.
Well, the last clip I'm going to share with you today is with the Dixie Chicks, the Lullaby of Broadway, and it's a really different sounding song for them to be singing, and really cute sounding, quite a tease. It just, once it gets into going here, I just want to hear the whole thing, so it looks like I got to wait with the rest of you here. But here is the Dixie Chicks and Tony Bennett, a section of it from the Lullaby of Broadway.
Baby said goodnight, it's early in the morning. Manhattan babies didn't sleep tight until the dawn.
Good night, baby.
Good night. The milkman's on his way.
Well, it's been a while since we've played some voicemails, and as always, you can call the Retro Crush voicemail hotline at 916-231-9480. Working on some new stuff to put in with our voicemail theme and whatnot. So let's just get right to it. Here's our first voicemail of the day.
Hey, Robert Barry at Retro Crush. This is Sailor. I'm calling you from the four corners of the country over in the Durango, Colorado area. Just want to say great job on the podcast. Enjoyed immensely. However, I do need my fix soon. sooner than once a week. So if you can, you know, churn out more of those, I don't care how crappy they are, because it's still better than anything on network television currently, with the exception of maybe The Lost. But I digress. Anyway, really enjoyed the top 10 comedians of all time. Enjoyed the banter between you and your fellow cohort there. Agreed with a lot of the choices. So I thought Emo Phillips could have rated it a little higher. I think he's highly underrated. That said, love the Fat Albert theme song. Yeah, I used to watch this as a kid growing up as well. But do you remember the episode where Fat Albert and the gang were watching porn? Yep, I remember it really well. In fact, it's actually included on the Greatest Hits DVD, though. Kind of shocking to me when I watched it recently, going, oh my gosh, look what they were teaching kids in the 70s and early 80s. Oh my gosh. And as far as that whole montage of the soft 70s hits, I can tell you, with the exception of maybe the Teens, ABC theme song, You're Still the One, I'm happy to report that I don't know any of those songs. None. Anyway, keep up the good work. Talk to you later. Bye.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, we might actually be doing two podcasts a week here very shortly. In fact, I got a whole other thing lined up with about 30 minutes of the show already recorded, so hopefully maybe before Monday we'll have another one. We had a 70s Wuss Rock contest a few episodes ago, and a lot of people entered, and we'll be on the next podcast sharing the answers and the winner as well. So stay tuned, that's for sure. I got another voicemail, by the way, from somebody that lives in the 225 area code. And you just might want to be careful you don't accidentally call numbers so they can hear everything else going on around your house when you least expect it. To respect your privacy, I will not play that on the podcast, but just kind of funny. You know, I basically, it sounds like somebody came home and accidentally dialed the podcast hotline. I got to hear him unload groceries and talk with his friends and some other things of that nature there. So, be careful, folks. Be careful. Well, I'm going to leave you today with a few different commercials that are all weird 80s cereal commercials. And these are not cereals that are made any longer. But, you know, they're typical of most trendy cereal. Cereal is one of the few kinds of foods where they just make it knowing it's going to be out for 3 months and then you'll never see it again. It's almost like a magazine or something like that. But, you know, here's four that certainly did not stand the test of time, but maybe you'll enjoy the commercial. The first was C-3POs.
Now, it's here. The excitement, the adventure of a new force at breakfast.
We'll call them C-3POs.
New C-3PO cereal from Kellogg's. Twin rings, phased together. For two crunches in every double O. A delicious part of this nutritious breakfast. Now you can experience the taste of Kellogg's C-3POs. A crunchy new force at breakfast.
May the force be with you.
Boy, that C-3PO is such a whore. He'll sell anything. You'd think if you wanted to make a successful cereal based on Star Wars, this was the first one that they did. And you'd think they'd try a little better character than C-3PO. I mean, R2-D2 cereal would have probably been better. Or, you know, Princess Leia's little hair bun sugar-frosted things, that might have been good. Or even Han Solo's or Obi-Wan Kenobi's. But C-3PO's, I don't know. I mean, I would think if you don't do a Darth Vader cereal with little TIE Fighter-shaped marshmallows and stuff, that would have been awesome. That could have been one of the greatest cereals of all time. But no, you had C-3PO's, which basically just had a picture of C-3PO on the box, and the cereal was like a bunch of eights. It wasn't even O's. It was like two O's put together, which in my book is the number eight. So, you know, one of the dumber cereals ever made. Next up we have from Ralston, the people that brought you fine Purina products, basically for your dog, was Donkey Kong cereal.
Now, on your breakfast table, Donkey Kong Ranch cereal. Funky Bear is a fun for breakfast. Dumpy Cop, a Dumpy Cop cereal.
The sweet, crunchy corn taste will drive you ape.
You love Dumpy Crunch.
Dumpy Kong, Dumpy Kong cereal.
Funky Bear is a fun for breakfast.
It's part of this complete breakfast.
Dumpy Kong cereal. You love the crunch.
Well, sorry about that microphone mishap there. Yeah, Donkey Kong cereal was not too bad. I'd say I could best describe it as a Captain Crunch in the shape of barrels. Yeah, and you know, it just didn't last very long. There's really no reason to buy it instead of Captain Crunch, but it was pretty much just a Captain Crunch imitator there. I do like that commercial though. That's a real deep voice of Donkey Kong. Almost sounds like James Earl Jones there. Keeping the video game tip going was Pac-Man cereal. And Pac-Man cereal actually lasted about a year. I think they tried all kinds of extra gimmicks with it, like Super Pac-Man marshmallows and things like that. And at one point they introduced new Miss Pac-Man marshmallows inside. And here was a commercial for that campaign.
Pac-Man cereal got a new surprise. When you look inside, it's shocking. Shocking pink, it's new Miss Pac-Man marshmallow. She's got a shocking pink bow, oh. Just one taste, you'll be tickled pink. With crispy corn puffs, all gone in a blink. Puffs gone in a blink. Love Miss Pac-Man marshmallow. She's got a shocking pink bow, oh.
Miss Pac-Man's inside Pac-Man cereal. Part of this nutritious breakfast, yeah.
Pac-Man's more fun, shocking pink, yeah.
It was a pretty well-produced commercial. The theme song for that was really nice, and got him. The music was pretty good too. Well, we're going to leave you today with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cereal. This one's kind of bizarre.
Bringing kids our Power Pack new cereal.
But Shredder wants it.
We must take that power.
Yeah, let me have it.
Let's give it to him.
Oh, the Ninja Mesh.
Shout out, dudes. It's Crunchy Ninja Mesh with Ninja Marshmallows.
A Power Pack Crunch. Part of your balanced breakfast.
Tastes great.
Now we crunch you.
Turtle Power.
So you think a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cereal would have some kind of turtles in it, but it has ninja nets and ninja marshmallows, so kind of weird there. So thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll have episode 92 up shortly. You know, if you have a friend that has not tried podcasts out yet or haven't listened to this one, tell them about the Retro Crush podcast. If you got any tips for me on how you'd like to make this a better show, give me an email, rberry@retrocrush.com. Or you can call the Retro Crush hotline, 916-231-9480. You can visit the RetroCrush.com website. You can, we've got a MySpace page, RetroCrush.com. I'm sorry, it's MySpace.com/RetroCrush. And we've also got sort of a semi-daily entertainment blog going on at PopCrush.com. So a lot of things going on here. Buy a t-shirt and have all kinds of fun as well. You can go to the front page of Retro Crush. We've got a few different shirts. We've got a new shirt that we're working on now that I think you're really going to like in time for Halloween. It's going to have some ghosts on it and like a 1920s era type heroine with her little dog dealing with all these ghosts around her there. So I think you might like that. So anyway, have a great day, and I'm going to leave you with a mystery piece of film music from one of my all-time favorite movies. And if you can be the first person to identify what movie this music is from, I'm going to pay about 30 seconds of it for you here. You're going to win a fantastic prize. I've got a few different DVDs. And I know I've been having a lot of contests lately and have not been announcing the winners very frequently. So we'll take care of that on the website shortly. In the next couple days, you'll see a lot of the winners of the past contest. And yeah, I've got a lot of different DVDs to choose from. I'll name them on the next podcast. But if you can guess the movie that this is from, and email it to rberry@retrocrush.com or call the Retro Crush hotline. You'll win the DVD of your choice with a lot of different ones. Here you go, and have a good day.